like milk, long-distance telephone calls, and library books. There is no due date, tolls, or expiration in the grand hour. Good morning. It's the 8th of August, 2018. I'm going to have a double billing this morning. A double Western billing. First up, we're going to be hearing Frontier Gentleman. The program's title was Remittance Man. It was an audition program. Frontier Gentleman, I came across this one a while back. It only lasted a single season in 1958. This one, since it's an audition program to try and pick up sponsorship, stars Ben Wright. When it was picked up, John Denner starred in it. And he actually would go on to be in Have Gun Will Travel, which I was actually intending on playing this morning. But I didn't. The original air date for this one, Remittance Man, was the 29th of January, 1958. Thanks.
They have some rather strange customs in the West. There's a town in Montana Territory where it's against the law to carry a gun. The sheriff lives by this order, but other men can die because of it.
Frontier Gentlemen. Herewith, an Englishman's account of life and death in the West. As a reporter for the London Times, he writes his colorful and unusual accounts. But as a man with a gun, he lives and becomes a part of the violent years in the new territories. Now, starring Ben Wright, this is the story of J.B. Kendall, Frontier Gentleman.
The journey had taken 98 days from St. Louis. I'd come by riverboat, up the Missouri, the little stern wheeler climbing, churning, scuttling over 2,000 miles of sandbar and rapids, then into the lonely wastes of another, swifter stream, the Yellowstone, until we finally docked at South Sunday in Montana Territory. My ticket had cost $300, which left me about 50 in my pocket, and the slim hope that there'd be a letter at the express office with my remittance from England.
Afternoon. Just in off the boat.
Right. I wonder if there's a letter for me. J.B. Kendall.
Kendall. Any trouble on the way up? I hear the Sioux been kicking up their heels. Sitting Bull's making big medicine again. Don't sound good.
Oh, we didn't see any.
Kendall. Kendall. English, ain't you?
Yes,
yeah. I figured by your talk. Don't see many of you in these parts. Nope, nothing for you, mister.
You're sure? It's rather important.
Nope, nothing. Maybe tomorrow on the Overland, though. Hey, you planning to stay a while?
I think so.
Better get and register, then.
Register?
Over to Sheriff Clanton's office. There's a notice on the wall. Maybe missed your attention. All strangers to South Sunday will, within 1 hour of arrival, register at the office of the sheriff or be prosecuted. That's Clanton's orders. surprised you missed the signs. They're all over.
Well, thanks.
That's all right. Wouldn't want to see you in trouble. This ain't the healthiest town in the territory. Not for strangers.
Oh? Any particular reason?
Sheriff's office, six doors up, mister. Afternoon, Mr. Farley. This here's Mr. Kendall, just off the boat. I was telling them about registering.
That's a good idea.
Dick Farley's one of the sheriff's deputies. Helps keep out Sunday law-abiding. It's a big job in these times.
What's your business, Mr. Kendall? Oh, well, you might call me a jack-of-all-trades.
I might.
I do a little writing for a London newspaper. You know, an Englishman's view of the Wild West. That sort of thing.
We don't take to strangers.
Oh, really? Well, it's a shame. I've been looking forward to my visit.
Yeah? Well, you've seen it. Now you know what it's like. Suppose you get yourself back on the boat and try up the line to Rosebud at Junction City, huh?
I don't think so. Now, if you'll pardon me, I'll register at your office.
You carrying a gun?
No.
Get your hands over your head. Higher. Now, you just hold it. Just so. All right. That's your baggage?
Yes.
Pick it up.
Well, I don't suppose you'd like to give me a hand. No. No, I didn't think so. Farley, isn't he?
That's right.
Tell me, Mr. Farley, how did your town get its name?
How should I know?
Civic pride, perhaps?
Mister, I don't like the way you talk or what you say, so you shut your mouth. Inside here. He just come in off the boat, Frank. Says he's a writer, a newspaper in London or something. He ain't carrying nothing. I searched.
You're Sheriff Planton?
Yeah.
J.B. Kendall, I understand I have to register.
Yeah. You want to write about South Sunday?
I might.
How come?
Well, as a matter of fact, the name intrigued me.
You kidding?
No, not at all. I write about the West, and you're in the heart of it. From what I understand, there might be trouble brewing with the Sioux and the Cheyenne. I'd like to be here if it blows up.
What's the name of your paper?
The London Times.
You ever hear of a Duke?
No.
All kinds come to these parts, mister. Now, I ain't exactly calling you a liar.
Oh, well, that's quite all right. One can't be too careful. Here. My paper.
J.B. Kendall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pretty subject. Yeah. London Times. That's what it says, you see, Dake?
Yeah, that's what it says. Anyone else get off a boat with you?
Not that I know of.
Well, you sound all right to me, Mr. Kendall. I just remember, I got a set of rules. You live by them while you're here, or you'll get along.
That seems fair enough.
No man except them authorized by me carries a gun in South Sunday. That way we don't get a bunch of crazy lick-it-up miners and the like shooting up the place.
It seems the usual thing for a man to be armed in most places.
Well, it ain't usual here. It's again the law.
I see.
You got yourself fixed up the hotel?
Not yet.
Now, you go over to the Empire, Mr. Kendall. Tell them Frank Clanton sent you. They'll take care of you.
Oh, that's very good of you.
Dake, take a look at his baggage.
Bye.
You're going to search my luggage?
That's right, mister. No guns in South Sunday. Not worn or hidden.
That's the law.
I haven't got one.
Glad to hear it. I like a peaceable man.
Yes, sir. A fella like you might think of settling down in South Sunday. From the quietest little town in Montana Territory. It's an opportunity for a man.
I'll keep it in mind, Mr. Clanton.
Nothing in his bags, Frank.
Well, now, Mr. Kendall, you enjoy your stay. Anything you want, you just ask me. And I'd appreciate it if you put my name in your paper, sir. And whatever you want to say is okay with me.
My hotel room was a palace in comparison to the cabin on the riverboat. And after cleaning up, I went downstairs to the saloon bar in the hotel and ordered a drink before dinner. The place was practically empty, but I wasn't alone for long.
Hi. You're the English fella, ain't you? Kendall?
Yes, that's right.
I'm Lila. I work here. Frank Clanton said to be nice to you, I'm being nice. Want to buy me a drink? It's on Frank.
Well, I'd be delighted to. Bartender.
Champagne, Harry.
Yep.
Frank says it's not ladylike to drink whiskey. Say, what you do to that man? I ain't never seen him like this.
He thinks I'm going to write about him for my paper.
Are you?
More than likely.
You gonna write about me, too?
If you want me to.
I'm Jake Farley's girl. Jake doesn't like you. He got mad when Frank said to be nice to you.
Does everybody in South Sunday do what Clanton tells them to do?
Sure.
Why?
Your drink.
Ah, well, good luck. Look here, Lila. What about Clanton?
You seem like a nice fella. Don't ask questions.
Oh. Well, what about you, then?
Me? What do you care?
Where are you from?
I was born in Ohio, got married, and came out west. Mm-hmm. 5 years back, my husband got killed in a gunfight.
Oh.
I don't know. I kind of drifted around, ended up here. One place is as good as the next.
Is it?
I guess. What about you? Your home's in England, huh?
It was.
You one of them lords or dukes or something?
Oh, not exactly.
Married?
No.
Must be interesting traveling around, seeing new things.
It has its advantages.
But I suppose you'd like to get back home.
Ooh, let's just say that one place is as good as the next.
Oh. You can't go back, huh? Trouble?
In a way. It's a... Oh, look, your friend's just come in.
Who?
Mr. Farley.
Listen, you be careful with him. Jake can get awful mean.
Doesn't he take orders from Clanton, too? I thought my person was sacrosanct.
Don't talk smart like that to him. It riles him. He ain't an educated man.
Mr. Farley, good evening. Will you join us?
No. No, I just come to tell you not to get no ideas about Lila.
Well, now, what ideas do you think I'd have?
I'm telling you.
You're telling me what?
John, you keep your hands off my girl, you understand?
My dear fellow, I haven't touched your girl. The thought never even entered my mind.
We were just having a drink, Dave, like Clanton said.
Now, you keep out of this.
You know, I find your manner towards this young lady rather offensive.
Oh, miss, you're just asking for trouble, aren't you?
No, not at all.
Now, you think you can come in here with your fancy talk, your fancy ways, and make a fool out of me? Maybe Frank's a sucker, but not me. I don't like you, and I don't trust you.
Now, Mr. Farley, it couldn't be of less consequence what you think of me.
He'll kill you. Just
shut up. Now, that I don't stand for, shall we? My dog! As I imagine, it's broken. And now, if you don't mind, I'll relieve you of these. Really, a chap of your disposition has no right running around with even one gun, let alone two.
You should have killed him.
What on earth for?
Listen, there are two more beside Dake and Clanton, and they'll get you. You won't have a chance.
I think you'd better clear out before Mr. Farley stops bleeding. He is not going to be in a very nice mood.
Where are you going?
Down to Mr. Clanton's office. I've got to have a little talk to him.
In a moment, we return to Frontier Gentlemen. People who live in glass houses maintain a fine view of the world, but they do give up a great deal of privacy in the process. Folks who like their privacy but want to know what is happening in the world satisfy their needs another way. They make it a practice to keep their radios tuned to CBS Radio every day of the week. That way, they can enjoy their surroundings and still take advantage of our far-flung CBS news facilities. To keep an eye on the world, keep an ear on CBS Radio 7 days a week. Now, Act Two of Frontier Gentlemen.
Can't go down there. Dake went out the back. You'll have told Clanton by now. They'll be waiting.
Well, that's all right.
What's the matter with you? You want to die?
Well, of course not.
They're
If you're gunning for them...
Gunning for who? I'm not gunning for anybody.
Then why are you going to see Frank?
I told you I want to talk to him.
Talk. Listen, you got to get out of town.
Oh, my dear girl.
Don't you know who they are?
Should I?
You don't know what you've done. You... Quick, this way.
He took my hand and ran back up the street. We ducked down a narrow alleyway, up a rickety flight of stairs, which was the back entrance of the Empire Hotel, and then along a musty corridor, past my room, and into hers.
I don't think they'll think of looking for you here.
Your friend Mr. Farley is going to be quite upset if they do.
His name's not Farley. Clanton isn't Clanton. They're the Shelton boys.
Shelton? The New Mexico Shelton boys?
There are four of them, brothers.
What are they doing in South Sunday?
Hiding out from Billy the Kid. They killed one of Billy's men down south. Billy swore to get them all for it. That's why Frank won't let anybody around here carry a gun.
But how do you know all this?
It was my husband they killed.
Your husband with Billy?
We were both crazy young. Harry joined up with Billy for excitement, I guess. One time he was gone out of town 3 months, I was lonesome and I met Dake. Harry came back, they had a fight over me. Dake outdrew him, we ran away together.
I see. And you thought I'd come after them and that Billy had sent me?
They'll think it now, too.
Who made Frank sheriff here?
Nobody. There wasn't one when we came. He just took over. Funny thing is, I guess he's a pretty good sheriff. He quit the old ways, kind of likes it here.
Why have you told me all this, Lila?
I don't know. He talked with me like I was a lady. Indian treats his squaw better than Dake treats me. Maybe I want to see you finish him.
Well, it's not going to be very pleasant for you anymore.
Pleasant? Mister, you got a funny way of saying things.
Is there anywhere that you could go? Friends?
In South Sunday.
Well, what about home? I mean, Ohio.
Home? Know what it costs to get there? I got no money.
But if you could?
If I could? I had nice folks, but I don't even know if they're alive or dead. I'd sure like to take a chance and find out.
Lila, we'll see what we can do.
Where are you going now?
To have that talk with Frank. Do you know how to use a gun?
Yes.
You take this one. Lock yourself in after I've gone.
You keep it. I've got a derringer.
All right. Here. In case I have any trouble, it's $50.
I don't want your money.
Well, at least you'll be able to get out of town. Now, you take it.
Watch yourself, will you? Dake's got a mean draw.
I'll watch myself. The Shelton brothers and probably two of their chums were out looking for me now. I was pretty certain of that. I was looking for them, too. But the advantage was on their side. The town was strange to me. So I went to the one place where I was fairly sure I'd be safe from a surprise attack. Careful. Keep your hands where they are.
You're Kendall?
I'm Kendall.
Billy the Kid sent you. Now listen, I...
You may very slowly, carefully unbuckle your gun belt and let it drop to the floor. Now, if you try to be foolish and brave, I shall be delighted to shoot you in the stomach.
Oh, not me, Mr. Kendall. You see, just like you
Which
say...
Which Shelton are you?
Monroe.
Very well, Mr. Shelton. I wish you to walk to that cell in the far corner. Go in and close the door behind you. You will then stand with your back to the door.
You wouldn't kill me.
Oh, yes, I would. Well, off you go. Close it, please. Good. These, I presume, are the keys to the cell?
Yes, sir.
Right. Now, turn around, please. Now, I'm going to gag you. And in order to do so, I must put my guns away and use two hands. Now, if by any chance your friends come in and you make an outcry while I'm doing this, I shall teach you a trick I learned in India. It feels like this. Effective, you understand?
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Head close to the bars, please. By the way, how many are there looking for me?
Two. Three.
Three. Now we'll make ourselves comfortable and wait for your brothers. Remember what I told you, Mr. Shelton? Not a sound.
Kendall! We know you're in there!
Blast.
Kendall! You hear me?
Is there a back door?
Mm-mm. Come out with your hands up, or we're coming in after you!
All right, let's get that gag off. I can see I'm going to need you.
What are you going to do?
I'll probably have to end up killing you. Nothing personal, you understand.
What do you say, Kendall?
Out you come.
Open the door and throw your guns out.
Oh, I've got a much better idea. You open the door and throw your guns in.
Monroe, you in there?
Tell him.
Yeah, I'm in here, Frank. Kendall, you come on out. Maybe we can make a deal. You can keep your gun.
I think it'd be safer if you came in without yours.
We could rush you. You couldn't get all three of us.
You have my permission. I don't know how your brother will feel about it. You want to tell him?
Now, don't do anything crazy, Frank. He's got a gun at my head. He'll kill me. Frank!
I hate to do this, but I'm afraid they don't believe you.
No, no, no.
Hey, Frank, you do what he says! All right. Kendall, we open up the door. Throw down your gun. You give us your word you won't shoot?
Not unless you do. Any more?
No. We're coming in now.
Well, pleasant family reunion. The brothers Shelton. Keep your hands where I can see them, won't you?
Now, look. Billy the Kid made a mistake about what happened down south. Dake didn't mean to shoot Lila's husband. Now, did you, Dake?
I drew him, that's all.
Yeah, that's the way it was. Lila knows it was a fair fight, I should tell you.
Speaking of Lila, I hope she's well.
Well, she's all right. Now, we got no fight with the kid or you. Now, why don't we all go on down to the saloon, have a drink, talk it over? Now, me and my brother's been living a nice, quiet life up here. We won't make no trouble. Now, Dave!
Completely dishonorable and most unwise. Any more hidden armaments?
You going to...
That depends. Mr. Shelton, have you got $500?
Yeah, I guess so.
Lila wants to go home, and that's about what it'll cost. You have the money here?
It's in the safe. Sure, she could take the boat out when it leaves in the morning. Ain't that so, Dave?
Sure. Get it?
Yeah.
that settles the account. Now, all of you, get into the cell. And incidentally, until this evening, I had no idea who you were, and I've certainly never met your friend, Billy the Kid. I just thought you'd like to know.
Hey, what about Dave? He's got to have a doctor. He'll bleed to death.
Yes, he probably will. Well, I'm going back to the hotel, and if Lila's all right, I'll send a doctor. If she's not, well, we'll find an undertaker.
Thank you, Mr. Kendall.
Oh, that's nothing, Lila. Good luck.
You ever come Ohio way, you look me up, you hear?
I'll remember that.
Huh. You're a gentleman. I'll never forget you. Goodbye, Mr. Kendall.
Trouble last night?
Yes.
Sure must have been something. According to the sheriff, a whole gang rode in, tried to shoot him up. He ran them off, though.
Oh. Really? I wonder, has that letter arrived yet?
Nope. Afraid not. Mail's already come in. Won't be any more until next week.
Oh. Well, when it does come, perhaps you'd be kind enough to forward it to me.
Sure. What address?
In care of the express office, Rosebud, Montana Territory.
Frontier Gentlemen was written, produced, and directed by Anthony Ellis and stars Ben Wright as J.B. Kendall. Featured in the cast were Jack Crucian, Michael Ann Barrett, Stacey Harris, Vic Perrin, and Barney Phillips. Music was composed and conducted by Gerald Goldsmith. Join us again next week for another report from the Frontier Gentlemen.
This is a firearm safety PSA. No matter how you feel about current gun laws, everybody should know the most critical rules about handling any firearm. Rule 0. All guns are always loaded. Rule 1. Never point a gun at anything you are not willing to destroy. Rule 2. Keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you have made the decision to shoot. Rule 3. Be sure of your target and what is beyond it. A public safety message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
Gun safety. WMFO, Medford.
That was Frontier Gentlemen that you heard for the first half of the program. Remittance Man. Original air date was the 29th of January, 1958. As you heard, it was starring Ben Wright. That was an audition program before they picked up sponsorship. Carried on. I believe the series started in the middle of February and lasted till November. Again, it was only a single season. Created, written, and directed by Anthony Ellis, who is doing any sort of cursory information on him, because he did write, it appears to be, he wrote all the episodes of Frontier Gentlemen. He was part of the great media civil war in the late 50s between radio and television, about 90 years after the bloodshed civil war here in America. For the next program, I'm going with Fort Laramie. This one, again, has some crossover. Raymond Burr stars as Captain Lee Quince. It's produced and directed by Norman McDonald. He produced Gunsmoke, which, when I go back to the regular format and I run out of six shooters to play, because I'm kind of in hiatus from that, so I still have plenty of six shooters to play in the fall. I'll close out the single season of the six shooter. Probably going to follow that with Gunsmoke. But again, I'm going with Fort Laramie this morning. This episode is titled Still Waters. This is episode 39. Original air dates the 14th of October, 1956. As a reference point, 1956 was when Elvis became a household name. Again, this stars Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince. The following year, because this again only lasted one season, Raymond Burr went on to become Perry Mason on the TV show, not the radio drama. Perry Mason actually was a serialized radio drama that aired for 12 to 15 minutes every day, daily. But Raymond Burr had no involvement in that. And this is Arthur. You're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio, and or WMFO.org.
Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince. Specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier. The saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire. And the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
Captain?
Oh, Mr. Syberts. The men looked fine, I thought.
Well, yes, sir, they looked all right.
Good drill. Good parade.
Yes, sir, but actually, I was more concerned with... Well, weren't you listening, sir?
I was watching, Lieutenant. I almost never listen to a dress parade.
I mean the band.
The band seemed to march real good.
Captain, the music. Frankly, I thought it was terrible.
Oh?
Usually it just sounds bad. But today it was awful. What, didn't it sound strange to you? Tinny, off-key?
I was watching B Company, Mr. Syberts. Marched just fine.
I don't know. Maybe it's my ears.
More likely my ears. I don't pay much mind to the music. When I was a boy, my mother thought I had a promising voice. So I'd sing for her. And the hogs would come running. Then the neighbors got so they'd come running, too. I got a lot of encouragement to quit singing.
But just because you couldn't sing well, Captain, doesn't mean you don't have an appreciation for music.
Oh, I think it does, Mr. Syberts. You see, I wasn't just obliging my mother. I thought I sounded fine, too.
Well, you were considerably younger, sir. I'm sure you've outgrown all that by now. After all, with your mother to encourage you, you couldn't be blamed for thinking
around
that
around her neck, she wore a yellow ribbon.
Captain.
She wore it in the winter and the merry month of May. And when they ask her why she...
Really, Captain, it was more about the regimental band than anything else. And if you didn't notice the band
far
so
far away, far away. She wore it for her lover who was far, far away.
Yes, well, I'm beginning to think I was very mistaken, if you'll excuse
far
me, Captain.
Far away, far...
Captain Quince? Major Daggett? What are you doing?
I was singing, sir.
You call that singing?
Yes, I do. And I suppose it's a minority opinion.
Are you drunk, Captain?
No, sir. I can account for the singing if you're interested, Major.
I'm only interested in stopping it. We've had enough bad music around here for one day.
I thought dress parade came off fine, sir. I was very proud of B Company.
Captain, I don't want to hear another reference to dress parade today.
Yes, sir.
It's over. That's the only good thing about it. It's over. I don't want to discuss it. I don't want to hear it discussed. That's an order, Captain.
Yes, sir.
I won't even ask if you heard the band. Did you hear the band?
Must have. I saw it. Seemed to me they marched real good.
No matter if you heard it or not, if that bellowing you call singing's a sample of your ear for music, that... marched real good?
I thought so, sir.
If I want marching, I'll get a company of infantry. From a band, Captain, I expect just one thing, music. You think I'm being unreasonable?
Kind of hard to get music out of busted instruments, I imagine.
I realize some of the pieces are quite old. Schultz tells me in the field they have problems with rust, sand foul in the cornet pistons, but busted instruments?
The report said the band was brawling over something Saturday night. Someone put his foot through a field drum. Some of the blow horns got smashed.
You read a report on a band brawl?
Mm-hmm. On your desk, Sunday morning, Major.
Oh. Well, I want to talk to the bandmaster, and if you'll stop delaying me, I will.
Sorry to hold you up, Major.
Lee. I'm sorry.
For what?
Well, I'm mad as the devil. Didn't mean to take it out on you.
I was handy.
And you were singing, don't forget. Kind of set me off.
Set Mr. Seibert's off, too.
Fact of the matter is, we have guests on the post. I wanted to be especially proud of our band. Oh, and what they did to Boots and Saddles. I think it was Boots and Saddles. I gotta see Schultz.
Tell him I thought the band marched real good. You ailing, Harrison?
Not me, Sergeant.
Well, we'd like to get that lumber loaded so you could run the wagon up to old Bedlam, unload it, and come back here and start all over.
I'm doing what I can. I swear I am.
You ain't ailing. You shake a leg.
Both of them shaking now, Sergeant.
All right, Harrison. Come out with it. I got about half a minute's patience left.
You know I'm a reasonable man. You know that right off. Well, if I'm not reasonable, maybe there's a cause.
I ain't got long to wait.
Like this contrary weather. It ought to be cooling off. Give a man a feel for hard work. It's got no right to be blazing hot this time of year.
You're asking for a change of weather?
I'd be obliged if you could arrange it, Sergeant. Anything, just any small thing would be an improvement.
Well, now... you just come to the right man, Harrison. Just for you, I'm going to change the weather. You mind now you ask me to do it?
Oh, I ask. I sure ask, all right.
Trooper Harrison?
Yes, Sergeant.
Report to the guardhouse.
Guardhouse? On what charge?
On the charge that you asked for. It takes you right out of the blazing sun. Of course, how you're going to get a breath of air is something else again. But seeing any small change would be an improvement.
Sergeant, I'll be getting back to my loading now.
I thought you wanted to change your weather.
One day I'm gonna learn to keep my mouth shut around here.
That day comes, you write me a letter so I'll know.
You know I can't write.
I tell you one good thing, Harrison.
I just ain't rising to any more bait, Sergeant.
Fatigue's over in half an hour, and after supper...
There's a band concert, I know. Well, it ain't gonna cool me off none. Not a cent's worth.
Only there ain't gonna be no band concert. In fact, if Bandmaster Schultz can't explain himself any better to Major Daggett than he has so far...
Oh, my foot!
Maybe we heard the last toot ever from our regimental band.
Pliny? You around, Pliny?
No.
What are you doing behind the pickle barrel? You drop a penny?
Are you alone, Captain?
Sure.
I'm not exactly open. It's almost 4:30.
You'd open at midnight to sell a two-penny cigar. Now, come on out from behind that barrel.
Well, oh, my, it's unnerving. That's what it is. What did you want, Captain?
What are you whispering about?
Well, you never know who's listening these days.
I'm listening. I'm hard put to hear you. Are you going to sell me a glass of beer, or do I have to draw it myself?
Ha-ha.
Uh-huh.
Who sent you?
Pliny, it's a hot day.
Oh, no, you don't, sir. I know an investigation when I see one. Well, you may tell that committee and Major Daggett and all the powers that be that I am living up to the letter of my agreement with the United States Army.
Maybe you ought to have a glass of beer, too.
Yeah. It's not my concern if the regimental band can't play without instruments.
What about the band?
No beer, no band. Oh, I'll miss the drums. Won't you?
Pliny, what time of day do you start making sense?
Why, Captain, I believe you don't know. You came here in innocence. But these are dark days, and the seeds of distrust are on the wind.
This time I'm going into the canteen and get that beer.
There is no beer. There will be no beer. Beer is a closed issue. Poor Schultz. Poor Schultz.
You keep going from beer to band.
From no beer to no band. And you can thank Mrs. Feemster and her committee for that.
Mrs. Feemster's not doing anything. She's just visiting Fort Laramie.
Her visit was ill-timed. Just when Schultz needed new instruments the worst way. But alas, 5% of nothing will not buy French horns and trumpets. And, oh, my. I will miss the drums. I'm still not reaching you, am I, Captain?
I know. No, you're not.
Then let me put it simply. A, B, C. A is for the agreement. Now then, 5% of all proceeds from the sale of beer I give to B, which is the band. From these monies, Schultz buys new instruments. That is, he did until... Oh, yes. Until C. C is for committee, headed by Mrs. Feemster. The Committee for Moral Improvement, if you will. And that means no beer. It follows, then, no beer, no proceeds, no band. Yeah. Oh, my. I put that well, didn't I?
If you did, you better climb in that pickle barrel, Pliny. A sutler that doesn't sell beer needs a real hiding place.
But the brine...
Salty.
Oh, Captain, I was just about to send for you.
Just came from the settlers, Major. You got any idea what's going on around here?
Hold your voice down. Come here.
Pliny was whispering, too. for a while.
Now listen to me, Lee. I get a better idea than anyone what's going on around here. Mrs. Feimster's in my office now. Let's go in here.
The army run by a woman now, Major?
That's not funny, Lee.
I don't mean it funny. I can't get a glass of beer. Pliny says that woman's why.
I've just learned from Washington that there's several thousand Mrs. Feimsters, Captain, and their ranks seem to be growing daily. Not only that, but there are also Mr. Feimsters, and their voices are getting louder every day.
Mrs. Feimster doesn't like beer?
On moral grounds.
She likes whiskey better?
Whiskey isn't the issue. Beer, light wines, such as are sold at the sutler's canteen.
Then she likes whiskey better.
She wouldn't see it that way. Besides, it isn't just the beer. That's just part of their plan for moral improvement. They want to see that all posts have libraries, more recreational facilities, concerts.
From the regimental band playing on no instruments?
Well, Mrs. Feimster realizes the problem there.
I got nothing against libraries, recreation. We need them. But do you think we got any kind of a drinking problem at Fort Laramie?
I've never been aware of one.
If we had one, you'd be aware of it. We all would. And if we had one, it wouldn't be on account of beer served to the settlers.
I know that, Lee. You act like this was up to me. Let me assure you, it isn't.
Mrs. Feimster, post commander?
I'm still in command here, and that means I still follow orders from Washington. That's where the real pressure's coming from. They've banned the sale of beer at Fort Sully, Fort McPherson, and Fort Totten. And I can't keep them from banning it here.
That brings us back to whiskey again. If a man can't get a glass of beer on the post, he'll go off the post. You think Mrs. Feimster knows what a hog ranch is?
A whiskey ranch? I doubt it.
Well, they got them now, all around Fort Sully and Fort Totten. And men that used to drink beer at those posts are stealing off and rotting their insides on hog ranch whiskey.
You seem pretty sure of your facts, Lee.
Ask Major Trucks. He got the information at the post surgeon's meeting last month at Fort Randall. The post surgeons are recommending that they reopen the canteens.
I wonder. Just wonder. Nah, it'd never work.
What wouldn't work?
I don't think even Major Trucks could convince Mrs. Feimster she was short-sighted.
I was thinking more of letting Mrs. Feimster make her own decision about being short-sighted.
You haven't met her, have you?
No, I'm kind of looking forward to it.
Now, Lee,
I'd like to volunteer to show Mrs. Feimster around the post tomorrow, Major.
Volunteer?
You might just tell her I'll call for her tomorrow, right after guard mount. Afternoon to you, Major. In time, we'd want to build a library building separate, but that takes time. Right now, there's only one building not being put to use.
Well, I'm sure I don't know where that is, Captain. Goodness knows we've covered most of the post.
Except the sutler's, ma'am, is just ahead.
But surely the sutler's store isn't vacant.
Well, not the store, just the canteen. It's part of the same building.
Is that where they keep beer?
When they had it, ma'am.
My dear young man, I have never set foot in a saloon, and I don't intend to go now.
A saloon's where they sell liquor, ma'am. This canteen's an empty room and a counter. But if you don't want to look at it,
you're certain there's nothing in the nature of spirits in there.
I give you my word, Mrs. Feimster. There isn't a sign of spirit in there now.
Very well, then. I suppose I should take the long view. After all, the library is the important thing. But in a saloon...
A canteen.
I'll take your word there's a difference, Captain.
After you, ma'am.
Thank you, Captain.
Canteen straight ahead, Mrs. Feimster.
Now then, Pliny, I got a long order here. Best you write it down.
Just a moment, Sergeant. Just a moment. Captain?
Miss Pliny? Oh, have you met Mrs. Feimster? This is Pliny Burgess, the settler.
Mr. Burgess?
Madam. Now, Captain, you know very well the canteen is... well, it's...
Yeah, we know, Pliny. We come to see how the room would do for a library.
A library? You mean books. And books in there?
We'll just look it over. You mind your customer over there.
Oh, well, I don't know
about... I got cash money, Pliny.
Coming. Yes, indeed.
In fact, I'm here.
Well, Mrs. Feemster?
Well, yes, I think perhaps you may be right, Captain.
Lemon extract.
This room would make...
I want all the lemon extract you got. All the vanilla, peppermint, ginger.
All?
Every drop. Then I want everything in stock in the way of cinnamon, red pepper sauces, bay rum. You got any smelly water, Pliny?
Smelly? Oh, no, I don't believe I have any smelly. Oh, no, no.
You're not paying much mind to the room, ma'am.
Hey? Oh, why... Oh, yes, it's first rate. Splendid.
O.D. something, Pliny.
O.D.? Smelly.
Excuse me, ma'am. You'd know what I'm trying to say.
I?
You know, you women folks uses it sometimes. Smells right nice. O.D.
O.D. cologne.
Oh, that's it, ma'am. Thank you kindly. I'll take all you got, Pliny.
All, I've got.
Seems to me we could get several hundred books in here, Ms. Feemster. Now, along that wall there...
Just a minute, Captain. Young man.
You talking to me, ma'am?
I am indeed. Your order to Mr. Burgess, all the lemon extract, all the cologne.
Yes, ma'am.
May I ask what you're planning to do with it?
Why, drink it, ma'am.
Drink it?
Well, maybe not all of it. I'll sell some, chances are. Maybe give some now and again to my friends, but...
Drink it!
Why, ma'am, you strain extract or that O.D. stuff through some coarse bread, you got a fine batch of alcohol.
Oh, my.
Now, myself, I'd rather have a glass of beer, but we can't get that no more here, so... Well, man's left to his own devices, you might say.
Thank you, Gorse.
I... Just hope it did the trick, Captain.
Right now, we almost have this added up. So let me see what that... That comes to $57.43, Sergeant.
Pliny, I've been thinking this over.
Huh? Oh. Well, now, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Now, since you're such a good customer, I'm going to let you have the whole thing for $57.33.
You drink it, Pliny. I'm going to Laramie Village for a beer.
Why, Captain, you've come to say goodbye.
No, I wasn't sure I'd be welcome, Mrs. Feemster. Major tells me you were a while settling down.
I very nearly fainted. You may as well know that.
Well, if it'd make you feel any better, it was all made up for your benefit, ma'am.
So Major Daggett assured me. Oh, my, Captain. I'm going back to Washington with a brand new outlook. I think our Committee on Moral Improvement may just revise its thinking a bit.
You talked to the post surgeon?
Indeed I did. I'm taking the entire matter up with all of official Washington.
Yes, ma'am.
And I want to thank you for opening my eyes, Captain. And that nice orderly of yours.
Harrison?
Yes, Trooper Harrison. He's the one who makes those nice outdoor stoves.
He is?
He was cooking last evening down by the Laramie River. I was out for my evening constitutional, and he explained it all to me about his stove. A retort, a condenser, and a receiver.
Harrison? He called it a stove?
Oh, he had some other name for it. A foolish name, too.
A foolish name like a still?
Yes, but I could see it was a stove. He's promised to send me the plans, show me just how to make it.
Mrs. Feemster, that stove, now it's just...
Oh! Oh, my goodness! The stage is ready! Goodbye, Captain!
Goodbye, Mrs. Feemster!
Fort Laramie is produced and directed by Norman MacDonald and stars Raymond Burr as Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry, with Vic Perrin as Sergeant Gorse. The script was specially written for Fort Laramie by Kathleen Height, with sound patterns by Bill James and Ray Kemper, musical supervision by Amerigo Marino. Featured in the cast were Howard McNear, Jeanette Nolan, and Sam Edwards. Jack Moyles is Major Daggett, and Harry Bartell is Lieutenant Syberts.
Company, attention! Dismiss.
Next week, another transcribed story of the Northwest frontier and the troopers who fought under Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry. Are you a student, businessman, musician, stamp collector? No matter what your profession or age, your opposite number in some faraway country wants to know about you and to tell you about his own life and thoughts. CBS Radio urges you to send your name to Letters from Abroad, 45 East 65th Street, New York City, mentioning your age, occupation, and interests. They'll find you a suitable correspondent in the country of your choice.
Grand. You put on your glad rags and we'll dance.